Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we devote our last few minutes today to, no, this is not the debt ceiling, this is not the war in Afghanistan, but maybe it's an issue that many, many, many of you will have to deal with this summer, and that is flying with a baby or a toddler. There are people who've done it, and we want to hear from you to give the tips, whether you've done it recently, whether you did it 40 years ago. 212-433-WNYC. And our lines are already full, I see. So you can also share your tips with us on Twitter. And, of course, all our Twitter followers who are parents in that category can go anytime and check them out. Just use the hashtag #KidTravelTips. And we have a guest for this, Nancy Solomon, a writer for Ciao Bambino, a travel blog that focuses on vacationing with children. She's also a mother of four young kids, and she'll take your questions as well. Hey, Nancy, nice to have you on.
Thanks, Brian. It's nice to be here.
All right. Here's how it starts, with a comment from Abby, actually an ex-intern on the show on Facebook. She wrote, "Bring three times as many snacks as you think you will need." Hang on, I just lost Abby's post, which moved on my screen. Bring three times as many snacks as you think you'll need and several sticker books. If you can afford to, splurge for a seat for your kid. Most important, try to stay calm. Is that a good list to start with?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, before you're on the flight, you obviously start with your booking. If you have the ability to book an extra seat, it's well worth it, especially on long flights. And she's absolutely correct about the food. There's nothing worse than having a hungry kid when you don't have any way of feeding them. So sometimes you can't get food service right away, and it's great to have that extra food. It's also and it also keeps them entertained to eat.
How about that splurging on a seat? How young a baby would you actually buy a seat for?
You know what? I would start almost right away, because if they are comfortable in their car seat, which they're used to traveling in all the time, then when you put them in their car seat in a plane, the likelihood that they'll sleep is increased. Whereas when you put them in an uncomfortable seat, you know, they're not gonna sleep well. Or if you have to hold them the whole time, if you're flying coach, you just don't have a lot of space.
Christine in Fairfield used to be a flight attendant. Yay, Christine! Thanks for calling up.
Hi, I live on the East Coast, and my entire family lives on the West Coast, and I have two children. And so with my flight attendant background and my mommy background, I think it's really important to make sure that kids' ears get cleared properly on takeoff and landing, because sometimes their ear comfort is what's really causing them to be fussy. And if they're one, you really can't ask them to do the Valsalva, or you can't give them a lollipop or something to suck on. So making sure you have a bottle or a sippy cup with water or breastfeeding or whatever you can to start the flight out right so they are comfortable, and then they will be able to fall asleep or be able to be entertainable and pleasant. And as long as I did that with my two kids, I really didn't have any problems going both ways.
That's a great one. That sounds really practical. What do you think of this, Christine? Posted on our site from another flight attendant who says, "When I was flying with a two-month-old, if she started crying during takeoff or landing, just let her scream because it will relieve the pressure in her ears. Something I never would have thought of," this person writes, "but it liberated me from anxiety about it."
Well, it's flying for me. I think it's just as important that I feel comfortable as well as the person sitting next to me. And letting my child scream it out probably wouldn't be something I would do. I was breastfeeding, so I would just pop them on the boob, and they were comfy, and they were happy, and away we went. And no one was crying, and no one was uncomfortable around me either.
Can't do that for 5 hours, though. But, Christine, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Nancy Solomon, what about that, how much to let a baby cry? I know a friend of mine who was going to fly cross-country with a baby said she was really nervous about being judged by the other passengers around her, not for being a bad parent, but just that people would be annoyed that she had a crying baby.
You know what? There's nothing you can do about that part. There will be people that are annoyed, and that's just the nature of people, you know. But I think it's important that a parent addresses their child and does the best that they can. I've seen parents put in earphones and ignore their kids, and their kids are going wild in the plane, and I don't think that's fair to the other passengers. And I think people are very reasonable to get upset in that situation. But if, you know, kids, little children that we're talking about here, don't come with an on and off switch, and sometimes when they're upset, they're upset. But as long as a parent is trying to comfort them and, you know, keeping other people in mind, you do the best that you can. And, you know, you if people judge you, they judge you.
Vicki in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hey, Vicki.
Hi, I would say take absolutely everything you need, but pack light, because you cannot expect any help at all from airline employees. That means bring hot water for formula, bring milk. In the attitude of the airlines, the milk is for the adults who drink coffee. It is not for children. Your children are your problem. And yet pack light, even though you have to take everything you need, because you're going to have to carry everything yourself, and you're expected to move as quickly as the other passengers. If you take this attitude that nobody's going to help you, then at least you'll be pleasantly surprised when a few people help. Usually, though, it's other parents, not the airline employees.
Wow, the attitude of low expectations from your fellow human beings. Nancy Solomon, what do you think about that?
You know, I think that it depends which airline you're flying. I have found I love JetBlue, and when I'm booking with my kids, I almost book exclusively with them when I'm flying domestically. I think they're outstanding with kids. I've had great experience with them. But, you know, I think you do need to be prepared to take care of yourself, and especially in takeoff and landing, you can't be asking someone to get you hot water when they're dealing with everyone at the same time. So some of it is having correct, you know, reasonable expectations as a flyer. And if you need something, have it ahead of time, like drinks, like, you know, food. You can't wait. You can't, you know, demand that people give that to you, obviously.
Dana in Upper Saddle River has a list, right, Dana?
I do. The most important thing, which obviously has been already said, is to make sure that the baby's feeding is upon takeoff and landing. That's the most important thing, and to definitely bring a portable DVD player.
Portable DVD player, and you told our screener organic lollipops.
Organic lollipops. I don't know if I could say the name of the store to buy them from, but you should bring lollipops just in case. You know, a one-year-old should not be eating lollipops, but just bring it just in case. Bring anything just in case, and all kinds of snacks, things that you might not even think they would want to eat, or just stick in their mouth to keep them quiet just for a few minutes.
Thank you very much. And Alexa in Stamford has an unusual one, I think. Hi, Alexa. Alexa, are you there? Alexa, we're going to try to get back to Alexa because her suggestion is so unusual. But Nora on Long Island actually wants to disagree with you, Nancy Solomon, on having a car seat for even the youngest babies in, you know, the seat next to you on a plane. Right, Nora?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Nancy, but we didn't bring a car seat for my son, and the whole ride we were congratulating ourselves on our decision. I feel like for a cross-country trip, it's too confining. He was a little over one. He was like maybe one in a couple months. This was last summer. But I think if we would have put him in that car seat for 6 hours, he would have gone crazy. It was much better that he had the room in the seat to like stretch out, lean back, climb back and forth between our seats. It just worked out a lot better for us.
You know, and I think that that depends on your child. You know, some kids are more mellow, some are more active. Certainly my, you know, my second son is considerably more active than my other children. I can see what you mean, that the space would be great. But, you know, that hope of sleep, the child sleeping, especially on a six-hour flight, for me is too alluring. So that's why I like to have a comfortable car seat for them, just to get those couple hours.
Thank you, Nora. Let's go back to Alexa in Stamford. Alexa, you there?
I am here, finally.
And your suggestion is?
My suggestion, and I didn't come up with it, I got it from a friend, but it's blue painter's tape. That small little roll, I mean, you could just do anything with it. Make stickers, write a name, stick it to the seat, stick it to your clothes.
That's fun.
It's the best tip.
And you can do it right there in your seat. Any other unusual toys or games, Nancy Solomon, things you either do usually use with your baby or a small toddler, or things that you don't that are just particularly good for that confined airline experience?
You know, tape is one of the great things for that reason. You can do so many things with it, and it's small. Other things that you can use kind of as a double duty is the, you know, Cheerios. You can string them up. You can eat them, you know, that kind of thing. The other thing is getting a placemat cover where they can color, and you tape it onto the tray table in front of you so it doesn't move around, and then they can color, they can do whatever you want, and then you just rip it off and throw it away. But definitely bring unusual things for them and new things for them that they'll be entertained by, so that, you know, there's some novelty there. And you have to have a whole bag full of little tricks. I mean, basically, you're going to be their entertainment for however long you're on the plane.
I want to get Howard in Brooklyn here because he's raising something that a lot of people are bringing up. Howard, we have about 15 seconds for you.
I would suggest taking an extra shirt. And the reason why is because when we were taxiing into JFK, about 2 minutes before we just after landing, one of my sons puked all over me.
Yeah, I knew where it was going there.
And the captain gave me a shirt.
That is a captain. And increases the expectations for humanity compared to that caller who we had on earlier. The vomit experience is an unavoidable part of it to be prepared for, right, Nancy?
Absolutely. You know, you have to have an extra change for them and you. And the other thing I always bring is a cover for my car seat, because I can't tell you how many times my car seat.
Nancy Solomon is a writer for Ciao Bambino, a travel blog that focuses on vacationing with children. Listeners, keep following our hashtag Kid Travel Tips. If you want to check out others, Nancy, thanks a lot. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.